بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم يأن للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق، ولا يكونوا كالذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلهم فطال عليهم الأمد فقست قلوبهم وكثير منهم فاسقون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا تكثروا الكلام بغير ذكر الله، فإن كثرة الكلام بغير ذكر الله قسوة للقلب، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected friends and elders, as humans, we are prone to err, we are bound to sin and to fall into error and make mistakes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Creator, is obviously fully aware of this, that insan and man in his daily life will end up committing sins. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءٌ. Every human will commit a lot of sins. The only humans that are excluded from this and exempt from this, guaranteed by Allah, are the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam. Besides the Anbiya alayhim salatu wassalam, the rest of mankind are subject to sin. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also facilitated a solution to this. That on one hand, man will sin, but on the other hand, there is a solution, and that is the doors of Tawbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in fact, has facilitated for our Tawbah in many different ways. So when man falls into sin, and then he gets the opportunity for Tawbah, the realization, he makes Tawbah, then alhamdulillah, that sin is wiped out completely from his records. One hadith mentions that when a person commits a sin, نُكِتَتْ فِي قَلْبِهِ نُكْتَةٌ سَوْدَى. A black dot appears on his heart. And if he stops that sin, if he desists from the sin, he makes tawbah, then that is wiped out and cleansed. But if he persists and he continues, then more black dots begin to appear on his heart until a time comes when that entire heart becomes dark and black. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the similar concept in Quran, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Their hearts have been covered with their deeds, the effect of their evil deeds. That is that heart that did not stop, that rather continued and persisted in his old ways, in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How has Allah facilitated for our tawbah? One is the knowledge that we know Allah is Ghafoorul Rahim, Allah is ready to forgive. But there were two systems that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to use to draw mankind back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna arsalnaka shahidan wa mubashiran wa nadhira. Glad tidings. The fada'il of tawbah. Speaking about the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah being rahim, Allah being ghafoor, Allah being merciful, forgiving, etc. Allah loving forgiveness. Encouraging the people to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa nadhira, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also a warner. For some people, when they hear the glad tidings and the rewards, they are spurred into action. Some people, that is not enough. They need to be threatened and warned. Like we see in our own lives, whether it be our employees, sometimes you have an incentive program for the employees, and mashallah, it works for many of them. But some of them still lack. It makes no difference on them. Then you have to threaten them with action. Or whether it be in our homes with our children, sometimes we try and encourage them towards good by giving them some incentives. It works on some occasions, and sometimes you have to threaten. Sometimes you have to warn them that you are going to be more firm, or you're going to take away certain privileges, etc. And many a times that works. So, in the Quran and Hadith, we will find many ayat, many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that focus on the aspect of basharat and glad tidings and mentioning the fada'il, incentives for deeds and good deeds and coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, incentives of tawbah. And there are a lot of ayat and ahadith that are directed towards the warnings and the threats against a person who persists in his sin. And respected friends and elders, part of the threats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the signs and the disasters that happen on earth. Those are also part of the threats of Allah to all of us. Allah says in Quran, وَمَا نُرْسِلُ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا. We send our signs. There may be some major catastrophe happening in some part of the globe. That is the khwifa. We send it to warn and to threaten the people. In other words, to warn the people of the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That sometimes the bayan wasn't enough. Sometimes listening to the fada'il wasn't enough. Sometimes listening to the hadith that warns us was not enough for certain people. Then Allah brings about major catastrophes on earth. One of the hikmats and wisdoms of those is takhwifa, to warn mankind, that see the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected friends and elders, let us inspect in our lives. In the current day and age, the amount of fada'il that we hear and virtues of deeds that are shared, whether it be from the minbar, whether it be on social media and other forms, the amount of warnings and the warnings against sin, etc., that are shared and that we hear is unprecedented in our lives. The tools of information and the platforms for sharing information are so many now that from all directions these things are shared and we are exposed to this. But despite that, has it really taken an effect in my life? Has it made any change in my life? Because is there any opportunity? Can there be really more bayan? Can there be more WhatsApps and messages being shared? And can there be more other social media posts being shared than what is happening currently? If that too is not enough, then these are warning signs for each and every one of us. For a person who has not taken heed up to now, then this is a warning sign. And respected friends and elders, in light of the current crisis in the dunya, the different types of sufferings of especially Muslims, but humanity at large, at different parts of the world, if that has not opened our eyes, so to say, if that has not given us something to reflect upon, if that has not affected my life practically, then that is a great musibat and a greater disaster. Barely 2 months have passed since the earthquakes in Turkey. 50,000 people, official figures, 50,000 people lost their lives. Imagine if that had to happen in our country. Imagine if an earthquake that stretched 300 to 500 kilometers from one end to the other, what stopped Allah Rabbul Izzah from bringing that disaster on us? That is a great manifestation of the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 50,000 maut. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a janazah would walk past, he would stand up. Sahaba once commented, O Nabi of Allah, this is a janazah of a non-Muslim. He said, Inna lil mawti faza'an. There's a terror that accompanies maut. There's a fright that accompanies maut. That is why I stood up. One janazah passed by and he stood up. It had that practical effect on him. Before it has any practical effect, it has to take mental effect. Has it even affected us mentally? Have we really focused on the extent of this ayah and sign from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? 50,000 deaths is the official figure. Those on the ground say it is more than double that. In a matter of a few seconds, the Syrian war, a decade-long struggle, and Allah alleviate the suffering of the Syrians. Allah make it easy for them and the entire ummah. It took 10 years for so many deaths. 13 million people were affected in this earthquake. Syrian refugees that have fled the country are 12 to 13 million. Over 10 years of war. This is in less than a minute Allah Rabbul Izzah has exposed only a small part of His Qudra. Only a small amount of His Qudra. That this is what Allah Rabbul Izzah is capable of. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. Allah is capable of everything. Has it affected us even psychologically and mentally? That we, have you taken cognizance of this? What do I mean by this? My beloved father, rahimahullah, used to mention, during that years of the Syrian plight and conflict, he would say, if we really are aware of the suffering of our brothers and sisters throughout the globe, we will not be able to swallow our food also. That is the effect. That is the effect it's supposed to have. We are supposed to take heed. We are supposed to accept this as a warning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 90,000 buildings collapsed. 90,000 buildings. 200,000 buildings damaged. Respected friends and elders, the floods last year were nothing in comparison to this disaster. The looting the year before that was nothing in comparison to this disaster. COVID that covered the globe was nothing in comparison to this disaster. And this again, I am saying, is only a small part, a small lesson Allah is showing the Ummah from His vast Qudrat and ability and capability. Because a time will come, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. The entire earth will shake like that, violently and worse. It'll shake so much, not only thousands and millions of buildings will collapse, the mountains also will collapse. The mountains also will fly in the air. That will be the extent of the violence of the shaking of the earth. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. Let it not be that when that also comes, when our moat also comes, we still had not yet taken heed, respected friends and elders. Wallahi, if a person cannot take heed in a time like this, then this not taking lesson is a bigger calamity and a bigger disaster. Those that lost their lives, inshallah, will be shaheed. But we who have survived them but taken no effect of this great ayah from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is a greater calamity and disaster. If a person cannot take heed, he cannot make any change in his life after seeing all of this, then this is a sign that heart has been darkened, like we were mentioning at the beginning. That there is so much of sin, that heart is sunken into so much of sin, that it has become dark and black. And then the heart becomes hard. ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ. Your hearts become hard. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَلَا تُكْثِرِ الضِّحْكِ فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضِّحْكِ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. Don't laugh too much. Don't indulge in amusement. So all the time you want to be amused and entertained. And life is not about merrymaking all the time. Because if you continue like that, it will kill off your heart. فَإِنَّ كَثْرَةَ الضِّحْكِ تُمِيتُ الْقَلْبِ. لا تكثر الكلام بغير ذكر الله. Don't indulge in too much talk without remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فإن كثرة الكلام بغير ذكر الله قسوة للقلب. That results in the heart becoming hard. The heart becoming dark. The heart becoming hard is all a sign of that heart being dead, like the hadith mentions. كثرة الضحك تميت القلب. A time comes when that heart is dead. Like a dead man. Those that were in the Qabristan prior to the 6th of February, prior to the earthquake, this earthquake made no difference to them. It was no sign to them because they were already dead. But unfortunately, many who are walking on the face of the earth are also like that, that it made no difference to them. This is a sign that the heart has become dead. The heart has become too hard. Nothing is penetrating into that heart. And this is a phenomenon mentioned in Quran and Hadith that we ought to be wary of. That you should not overindulge. Don't overindulge in your luxuries. Don't overindulge in entertainment. Don't overindulge in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this will result in the heart dying. مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ مَثَلُ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. The example of those who are aware of Allah, remember Allah. Remembering Allah doesn't only mean sitting in one corner in the masjid and with the tasbih in the hand. In addition to that, to remember Allah wherever we are, to be aware that we are answerable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the example of the one who remembers Allah and the one who doesn't is like the example of the living and the dead. That there are those who are alive, so to say, in the dunya, walking around, eating and drinking and merrymaking, but in reality they are dead in the light of this hadith. This is what ulama refer to as ghaflat. Negligence, being unaware, taking no notice of what is happening around us. That is equal to death, respected friends and elders. Because after that, we will not say there is no point of return, no. But that is a very, very low level. that when the heart has died, then no matter how much you will warn that person, no matter how much of bayan he will listen to, no matter how many signs of the miracles and the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala around him, it's making no difference to that heart. When calamities like these occur, then you get two natural reactions. Either there's a good reaction or a bad reaction. Undoubtedly, there were many who had that good reaction. There were many whose hearts poured out to the suffering of those who were suffering. There were many who physically went to assist in the rescue efforts. There were many who maybe sent their funds, and there were many who sent their du'as, fervent du'as, sincere du'as, who shed tears. And there were many, on the other hand, who persisted and continued in their wrong. There were many who were even in those areas where the earthquake happened, and they continued in their evil ways. They were robbing trucks that were going with aid, stopping the truck and robbing and hijacking the truck. They were, instead of saving people from under the rubble, when a person put his hand out, instead of grabbing his hand, they were grabbing the rings and taking out of the hand and leaving the man to die. You will get that kind of reaction as well. And it is undoubtedly inhumane. But not very different from that is for a person far away in his country, taking no effect and continuing with the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like we shun and despise that person who is robbing from the person stuck under the rubble, we should despise myself for not taking heed and not making any change in my life and continuing in my haram. If on the night of the 5th of Feb, I slept after looking at haram, listening to haram, interacting with someone with haram, and on the night of the 6th of Feb, I continued with that, then that is a greater calamity. And now we are in the middle of April, 2 months later, and I've continued with my wrong. And I've forgotten about that disaster. Then what else are we waiting for before we make a change? What else are we waiting for, respected friends and elders? In these calamities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifests His power and qudrat in many ways. One is to show how capable Allah is to punish us. But on the other hand, there are so many stories, so many reports that refreshen your iman. Iman ko taza karne wali hikayat. My father, rahimahullah, used to make a note of these incidents throughout his life. And then he would share this incident and he would say, this is one more. This is one more incident that revives your iman and strengthens your iman. This incident also of the earthquake in Turkey is filled with such incidents. 4,000 babies were born in those areas, 4,000 babies. In other words, in the midst of mort and death and catastrophe and disaster, Allah takes out life. يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ Allah is capable of removing the living from the dead. يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ There were those who were stuck underneath, and after being rescued, they said, we spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we said, oh Allah, we got saved, the roof didn't fall on us. We didn't die with the collapse of the building. Am I going to die out of thirst? And very soon thereafter, water began to trickle through. There was one brother with us in the office in Istanbul, whose sister-in-law and family were affected. So it was his sister-in-law, her husband, and 4 children. So 6 members of the family, after a few days, they were given the sad news that all of them had passed away. A day later, they find 2 of them alive. By the evening, they found the 3rd one alive. And then the 4th one, whose name was Aisha, they say that she sadly had lost her life. But Allah's qudrat is there, respected friends and elders. That evening people sat together to make ta'ziyat and to console them. By the morning they discovered, for those who know the Arabic language, they discovered that Aisha, hiya Aisha, she is alive, she is living. And when she comes out, she says, when I was under the rubble, I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, I'm hungry. And she says, there was something like a hand that used to give me food when I was under that rubble. There were people, respected friends and elders, from under the rubble asking for water, not to drink. They were asking for water, give me water so I can make wudu and read my salah. These are the miracles Allah brings about from these occurrences as a lesson to mankind. There were people who were saved from under the rubble. There was a woman who was saved twice. Her home collapsed and she was heavily pregnant. She was rescued and taken to the hospital. After she gave birth, she returned to a home nearby, and that home also collapsed, and she was saved again. There were those who were saved and rescued, but mort was still written for them. There was a woman with her son and daughter who were rescued when she was taken to her sister's house. She says to them that, Alhamdulillah, the most important thing for me is that my children are safe. And immediately thereafter, without any signs of injury, she passes away. There was an elderly man who was pulled out from under the rubble, and he was being treated and nursed in his daughter's home, in an apartment building, and a fire broke out. Others were all saved, but he passed away. His mort was written. These are the signs on the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But respected friends and elders, to sum it up all, it was something that was not bearable for just any person. If really you were listening and you were part of this occurrence, it was very easy for a person to even lose his mind. There was an elderly sheikh with us in the office whose family, his niece and their family were affected, 9 of them. And other relatives of his living in the same area in Marash. He must be in his mid-60s. So he went with his wife to the airport in Istanbul, but they refused to allow him to take the flight because he's a refugee registered to be in Istanbul. You need permission to leave. So then he took the 13 or 16 hour long bus journey. And he reaches there in the evening. 2 mornings later, he was back in the office. After taking such a long journey, so we asked him that you came back so quickly. He says, "Shay'un la yusaddaq wa la yusaf wa la yuhtamal." Something that you will not believe if I have to describe to you the manzar and the sight of that area. Something that cannot even be described. And he said, "La yuhtamal," cannot be borne by just any person. Not every person has the ability to tolerate looking at the effect of that disaster. Such was the effect, respected friends and elders. Let us ponder and inspect our lives. Let us make this decision that, oh Allah, I want to make this change. Even if it is one sin we gave up, one sin. Even if it is one command of Allah that we added into our lives that we were lacking in. It is at least some change we have brought about. A catastrophe of this proportion is sufficient to change our life completely. But if there is at least one thing we can change, because undoubtedly Allah Rabbul Izzah will question us. The day will come when a person will be asked about every single thing. أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ. Did we not give you enough life? Didn't you live enough in this dunya to take heed? To take heed from all the different opportunities that presented themselves in front of you. وَجَاءَكُمُ النَّذِيرُ. And the warnings came to you as well. These are warnings. This ayah, this catastrophe is a warning from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will be questioned, was not that sufficient? Such a great event. The Nabi of Allah feared the death of one person. One mayyit passed by and he stood up and he said, "Inna lil mawti faza'a." 50,000 people died within the effects of less than a minute. What effect did it take in my practical life? Gee, highlight those things that we are engaged in, whether it be completely sinful or even doubtful or even things that are useless and have got no real benefit for us in our lives, and make that improvement and delete that app or shun that particular person and company who is influencing you to engage in that haram and wrong. Take that bold step, respected friends and elders. Even if it is something minute, let us give up our life of extravagance. The level of extravagance that is spreading in our communities, respected friends and elders, it does not gel. It does not fit in with being part of the house of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyan. One believer to another is like one building, like a wall. Yashuddu ba'duhu ba'da. Each one supports the other. Have you ever seen a home where on one floor or in one room people are dying out of starvation? In the other room, the ceiling has collapsed on them and they are suffering. And in the lounge area, people are lounging around and merrymaking and feasting. People are living a super luxury life in one room of that same home. That never happens. We are all part of the home of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Give up the life of extravagance. Make that sacrifice and change in our life. Allah Rabbul Izzah will give us that satisfaction. Because extravagance, people are going into extravagance. People are living lives of luxury for what? Looking for peace, looking for comfort. Allah will give us that comfort without all of that. Allah Rabbul Izzah has not kept comfort in that life. Allah has not kept comfort and peace and tranquility in the things of the dunya and the luxuries of the world. We can have the most expensive beds, but no sleep. You can have the most expensive lounge set, but still be restless while sitting in your lounge. You can have the best of cars, but still dissatisfied. You can go for the best of holidays and still unsatisfied. Because Allah Rabbul Izzah has not kept satisfaction in that. Let us make that adjustment. You know, rarely do we do such. But I will share a personal acknowledgement. We are in Turkey, or now newly renamed as Turkey, for 3 years with my family. Turkey is known for its exotic holiday spots. It is known for beautiful manazir and, you know, and sights and places where you can view the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And being there for so many years, we didn't really get much of a chance to visit and to tour the country. I had initially intended that I will take my family, and I mentioned to my children that after Ramadan, the madrasa and schools are closed for a few days, we will go. But during Ramadan, this thought comes to me, that how can you go? How can you go and merry make? Yes, on one hand, we are told to keep the lives of our family and children as normal as possible, to normalize the lives of the young ones so that it doesn't take a psychological toll on them. But that doesn't mean we must go out and enjoy ourselves, especially in a country where millions of people, 13 million people were affected. Millions of people are now homeless. They don't have their own bed to sleep on. They don't have a shelter above them. They're sleeping in tents, in cabins, in hostels, in university hostels, school hostels, etc. And we must go out and enjoy and engage in this additional expense while this is happening in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I discussed it with my family and children, and I mentioned it to them like that. In light of all of this, what do you think? You think after Ramadan it makes sense for us to go? And alhamdulillah, they also understood. And every sane person will understand, we need to take that step, respected friends and elders. This is nothing in comparison to what change we ought to be making in our lives. But all I'm saying is, let us sit down with the family. Let us first ourselves convince ourselves that we want change. We want to turn that new page and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter, sit down with your family and explain to them that this is what is happening. These are all signs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has spared us this time. And on so many other times Allah has spared us. What if this kind of a catastrophe comes upon us? How many people may have went to bed on the 5th of February in those affected areas, having committed the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then never to open their eyes again? What if something like that had to happen to us? What are we doing last thing at night before going to bed? What are we doing in our day-to-day life that can change? Let us, respected friends and elders, make it a worthwhile occurrence by taking effect and taking that bold step of bringing about some change. And there is no better time. Generally, we would say there is no better time than Ramadan. Yes, undoubtedly. And there is no better time than now. Now, respected friends and elders, today, here and now, make that intention. Immediately after we leave, let us not be distracted by things around us. That is what has brought this ghaflat into our lives. There is so much of distractions around us. Not just around. In our pockets there is so much of distraction that when we leave the masjid, and even before leaving the masjid, the mind has wandered somewhere else. And that effect of that bayan, or the advice, or that WhatsApp message is just for that few moments, and then it vanishes from our lives. Don't let this be the same, respected friends and elders. Let us make a firm intention that in this month of Ramadan, and here and now and today, we want to make tawbah and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight is another odd night, and potentially could be Laylatul Qadr. What better chance for us to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg Allah to bring about that change in our life, and a lasting change. Each person knows better what change is needed in his life. Let us make that inspection, introspection, and that bold step of changing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Rabbul Izzah bless us with tawfiq, and Allah Rabbul Izzah keep us with afiyah and our families and near and dear ones. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate and remove the suffering of those people who are suffering, whether it be in Turkey or Syria, or whether it be anywhere else in the dunya. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi.